Welcome to the podcast of Lansdowne United Methodist Church. We're so glad that you're joining us online. Today's message is entitled Dead to Sin and is based on Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. The speaker is Pastor David Jacobson.
We're continuing today our series on Romans with the first chunk of chapter 6, where Paul is continuing to work out what it means to be justified by faith. Last week we talked about one way of looking at this thing called justification. Before justification, we were God's enemies. Once we are justified, we have peace with God. God gives us an assurance of that peace because the Holy Spirit, Romans 5 says, pours God's love into our hearts. But here we are in chapter 6, and we're confronted with a new question that will mean looking at justification from a new angle. This is a question that eventually gets asked in every time and place where the gospel is proclaimed. If we are saved by God's grace through faith in Christ, then can't we just carry on sinning so that we can get more and more grace? In one form or another, this question always seems to be one of the first objections brought by someone encountering the deep reality of God's free grace. I mean, maybe you thought of the question this way before. Can I just go ahead and do this thing that I know is wrong because I know that God is going to forgive me anyway? I mean, it's amazing grace, right? Well, I think Paul's got an amazing response. I just love it. But as you may have noticed, Paul's letters can be a little difficult to understand sometimes. So if you think they're difficult to understand, you are in good company. And believe it or not, you're in good company in the Bible. 2 Peter actually talks about Paul's writings, saying there are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. So even relatively early in the history of the church, Paul's writings were known for being both difficult to understand and so necessary for the church that they were called scripture. So Paul's about to get confusing as he answers the question about sinning to get more grace. But before he gets confusing, he's incredibly clear. Question, should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? Answer, absolutely not. By no means may it never be. God forbid, in the King James it says. And there are some really good reasons coming, but that is the heart of the answer. No. And if you think the answer is yes, you're confused. Paul's explanation comes in the next verse. All of us died to sin. How can we still live in it? And he continues on, don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? And that's the part where many of us probably want to say, actually, no, Paul, I had no idea. I have no idea what you're talking about. But Paul's point here is actually pretty clear once you wrap your head around some of the concepts that he has in his mind. First, he's speaking about a literal water baptism. He says, baptism unites us to Jesus. We're no longer outside of Christ, but we're in Christ because we're baptized into Christ. I love the way that Nikki Gumbel, who's the pioneer of the Alpha Course, puts it. He says, let this piece of paper represent you. You know, imagine that your name is written on it. He says, let this Bible be Jesus. All right, it's a hymnal. So Paul explains that you are united with Christ in a mystical way. And all those who are baptized into Christ Jesus are baptized into his death. So now everything that happens to this book also happens to the piece of paper that's inside it. So when Christ died on the cross, you died. When Jesus was buried, you were buried. Your old life is gone. And when Jesus rose from the dead, you rose with him to a completely new life. Which brings us back to the question, should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? I'm sure that most of you remember that great parable of Jesus, the prodigal son. The younger son convinces his father to give him some share, his share of the inheritance. And then he goes off and he spends it all. And eventually he comes home in disgrace, or so he thinks. But amazingly, his father, he finds his father running towards him to meet him on the road, and he throws a big party in his son's honor. And then there's the older brother that's unhappy about the whole thing because he didn't run away. Well, Bible scholar N.T. Wright does a little thought experiment with this parable. He says, imagine the scene a few years later. Life for that formerly lost son has settled down. Things have gotten a little, well, normal again. His brother even tolerates having him around, more or less. And then that son, the one who left, remembers that great day when he came up the road and his father came running to greet him. And he thinks to himself, I could do that again. Why not help myself to a few things to survive, and I'll run away for a few weeks, and then I'll play sad and come back again, and maybe they'll even throw me a party. You see how messed up that is? You want to throw some cold water on his face and say, you give him a good shake. What are you talking about? That was your old life. After everything your father has done for you, you're just going to turn your back on him again? Oh God, forgive us. I mean, how many times have we set our minds on going back to our old lives? God, forgive us for the times that we've presumed on your grace, when we've desired forgiveness without a change of heart. God knows how we are. God knows how sometimes we think it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. God knows how deeply we want our own way and not God's way. And so God gives us Paul to break it down for us. And here's Paul's message. That mentality is completely missing the point. It's actually opposite of the point. Because we who have given our lives to Jesus are dead to sin. What does that mean? In Scripture, sin always brings death. You know, God says to the man in the Garden of Eden, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it, you will die. Sin's effect is to cut us off from God, the source of life. Sin's purpose, if you will, is our death. But Paul says in verse 7 of Romans 6, whoever has died is free from sin. Sin does its worst. And it always brings death. Always. Our faith, represented by our baptism, unites us with Christ. Christ takes the penalty of our sins on himself. And sin, our sin, does its worst to Christ. And he dies. He's crucified. He dies instead of us. But by our baptism, it's as if his death is my death. It's your death. And so once sin has done its worst, there's no more I can do, and we become dead to sin. And Paul continues in verse 8, but if we have died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. And the message of justification by faith doesn't end with death. Justification is death and resurrection. It's us taking part in Christ's death and resurrection. Stick with me here. Do you remember when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? He'd been in the tomb 4 days, but Jesus says, Lazarus, come out. And he walks out of the grave with all his grave clothes on. Lazarus was brought back to life. But Lazarus being raised was really just death suspended. He would go on to die. Jesus raising Lazarus is not a resurrection. It's someone coming back to life, the life that they had. But resurrection is different. Here's what Paul says in verse 9. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. Jesus is alive forever. He's not dying again. His body was transformed into a new thing. I mean, just think about the Easter story. Mary doesn't even recognize the risen Jesus at first. Neither do the disciples on the road to Emmaus. He's the same, but he's different. He eats fish on the beach with Peter, but he is able to pop into locked rooms, apparently not needing to use the door. So why does this matter in the context of the question about whether we should sin to get more grace? Well, Paul understands that baptism puts us on a one-way street. Christ takes our sins on himself. He bears the penalty. He dies. We die with him. Christ is raised to new life, and we are, in a sense, raised to a new life with him. In Christ, we are now a different thing. You can't tell the caterpillar to crawl back in the cocoon and turn into a caterpillar. Butterfly to crawl back into the cocoon and turn into a caterpillar. There we go. You can't undo the resurrection of Christ. In Christ, you are a new creation. The old self, as Paul says in verse 6, was crucified with Christ so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. In Galatians 2, Paul says this a slightly different way. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So should we go on sinning so that grace may abound? By no means. My brothers and sisters, sometimes we need God to do a new thing in us. And I'm a firm believer that in order to find God, sometimes we have to hit the end of ourselves. Maybe always we need to hit the end of ourselves. But sometimes we just need to understand and claim the thing that God has already done in us. If we understood the meaning of our baptism and our conversion, we would never ask that question that Paul has to answer, because in Christ, you're a new creation. That old self that was stuck in sin didn't have a choice but to sin, but now that old self is dead. It got crucified, it got put in the ground, and God made something new in you. Sin has done its worst, and you have come out the other side with a new life in Christ. Does that mean that we never sin? By no means. But sin is no longer the controlling force in our lives. When we sin, it's like we're living our old lives. Think of it this way. You live in a trashy apartment. I'm not speaking personally, this is a story. Let's say you live in a trashy apartment and you get behind on your rent payments. Well, to make matters worse, you have a nasty landlord that has no problem barging into your apartment at the worst times to demand payment. But then something amazing happens. Someone comes along and pays your debt to the landlord. But not only that, he buys you a brand new beautiful house and he pays to move you there. That's a nice thought to think about, isn't it? It's doubly good news. First, you never have to put up with that old landlord barging in again. And secondly, you got a new house to live in. It's way better than that dump you used to live in. But imagine that a few months after being in that new house, your old landlord barges in the door just like he used to, and he demands payment. What do you do? Would you say, sure, come in. What's mine is yours. And please do say hi to the missus. By no means. I mean, the polite among us would at the very least produce the lease paperwork and say, look, the debt has been paid. I owe you nothing. You've gotten what's yours. Now get out and never come back. My brothers and sisters, we don't need to pay the landlord anymore. Christ has taken care of it, and that is what Paul means when he says in verse 11, so you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ. You've been baptized, or if you haven't, maybe it's time to make a decision to do it. Baptism is like the moving truck that moves you from the old nasty apartment to the beautiful new house. The landlord might come to pester you from time to time in the new place, but you are out of his territory and you don't owe him a dime. But now you live in a beautiful new house that you didn't pay for and you did nothing to deserve. So how are you going to treat the giver? Well, you're going to invite him over every Sunday and some Wednesdays too. You're going to do whatever that giver asks of you, and you're going to do it with joy in your heart. And one more thing. You'll be telling the story to every single person you meet about that incredible someone that came along, paid the debt you couldn't pay, and gave you an incredible gift that you did nothing to earn. All your friends will say with longing and curiosity, "Won't you introduce me to the giver?" And your answer, "By all means."